episode number 60 of the Walking Leader Podcast. Hello, my name is David Guerra. Welcome. We've made it to episode 60. 60 of them. Wow. Not bad. And I thank you for being with me every step of the way. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you take something away from this, and I hope it helps. I really do. Let's continue on. We're going to continue with the Bad Leader series, and we're at number 15 now. And this one, we're going to talk about the one that believes he alone can save the organization. That's right. They're out there. Those kinds of bad leaders, that they are there to save it, then they're there to save the world, not just the organization. And they do it all by themselves. Typically, they're tasked from higher up. Somebody higher up in the organization will task them and say, they want you to come and bring order to the branch or the department or the section or group or team or whatever. Whatever, because there's some problems, and you're the only, you know, that leader is the only one that can solve it. You know, it could just be that they're just throwing bodies out there, and hopefully some idea will stick. But let me dive deeper into this. He arrives with a Man de la Mancha attitude, you know, that Don Quixote thing. You know, he charges at windmills and fights imaginary dragons, and Dulcinea, well, it's the organization or the department or the group or whatever. You get the idea. In reality, he or she is there to, quote unquote, clean house, believes that everyone is wrong, that everyone is part of the problem, and that he and he alone is the solution, because higher up, they have all the faith and confidence in him, and that's why they sent him, because he's going to save the world. However, once he gets on the ground, well, he will typically believe only the negative stuff that he or she hears. And usually it's negative stuff said by others, others that have no clue as to, well, what somebody else is doing, others that are in it for themselves and want to save their own job, save their own neck, or others that are just completely clueless about anything and everything, and everybody's negative but them. Now, he does not... He also does not give those with the negative reputation an opportunity to explain or defend themselves. He's just there and he sees, okay, well, you're bad, and so-and-so said you're bad, you've got to be bad. You know, whether they like that other person or not is besides the point. The point is they hear the negativity, and so they latch onto it, because, again, there's problems here. Now, he or she starts holding everyone accountable for all aspects of daily operations. I mean, heck, I had one supervisor. I'm not kidding. I had a supervisor. I'm glad I don't. Who had return receipts on his emails turned on and expected everyone to open the emails. You know, what he didn't think about or didn't plan on or didn't just couldn't wrap his ego wouldn't let him was that opening an email did not guarantee that it was read or understood. It's just that it was opened. You know, but again, his ego led him to believe that because he was there to help, he was there to run the show, he was there to make things happen, that the email was read and the contents were understood. It's crazy. You know, one day, I'm not joking, one day this guy gave me the third degree as to why one of my staff did not open his email and the little return receipt message never popped back up on his screen. You know what? It's like, I'm just standing there. I was like, I can't believe this guy is really asking me this question. It was just insane. It's like, I understand he turns it on, but again, is he going to hold a supervisor accountable for his staff not reading emails? You know, it's just crazy. I couldn't comprehend it. I knew things were, at that point, I just knew things were just not going to go good for this guy, because again, he was barking up a tree that he didn't need to be barking up. He didn't need to be doing things he was doing. But hey, where is he now? But that's okay. I told the supervisor, I said, hey, I shared with my staff the information in the email, which I had. I really had. I had opened it first. I read it. And it's like, okay, everybody listen up. And I shared it to him. So, you know, that staff member just opted not to read it, or he'll read it later or whatever. But I didn't plan on getting the third degree because my staff didn't read an email. You know, but again, he was persistent, and I'm talking about the supervisor. He was persistent that my staff member should read his email and should read it immediately. You know, just to appease the guy, he says, don't worry, he will open your message. Don't worry, you'll get your return receipt. that was just crazy. But they're out there. They are out there like that. They really do exist, people. And if you've never encountered one, consider yourself lucky. If you're dealing with one right now, things will get better, I promise. And if one of them is on the horizon, run for the hills. Run as fast as you can. Seriously. There are other bad leaders that are out to save the world that seek no help from others. I mean, they just automatically begin to implement changes where they themselves see fit. They don't have a clue as to how things really get done in the local culture of the branch or the department or the section, the group or the team. They don't. They have no clue. They demand that their perfect set of changes be put into action immediately. Why? Because, well, for one, they know better. And higher up task them to change the world. And in changing the world means these changes will be implemented. Now, when the new, quote-unquote new, changes do not yield the expected results, then what? Well, you know what's going to happen. That's right. He's going to blame the employees as not wanting to change. He's going to point at those problem employees as sabotaging the efforts to make things better. And he's going to continue to force those changes to be better implemented. Basically, he's just going to cram them down people's throats and hold them accountable to it. And unfortunately, and it does happen, he will seek to remove those he and his paranoia deem to be key to the failure of the implemented changes. See where I'm going with this? I hope so. And again, he will continue not to seek help from others. Sure, the superiors seem to have given the hero carte blanche to make the changes. Thus, you know, because again, things aren't working out. The hero, Don Quixote in this case, will try to save face by continuing without consulting others for help, internally and externally. His ego has written a check that now it can't be cashed. Now, the reality is that when he's gotten to that point, and really for anybody, I mean, who wants to admit that they cannot save the world? You know, well, everybody will admit it. It's those egomaniacs, and that's what I will call them, who say, you know what, I will do it, and it will get done, and that's who I am, and that's what I believe, and it will happen. But again, they will never admit that they cannot change the world. They would rather be removed, kicking and screaming, blaming others. They'd rather be escorted off the facility grounds. They would rather be publicly humiliated and still not admit that they could not save the world, that they couldn't do it by themselves. They will not admit it. I guarantee you to this day, that supervisor sits wherever he sits and thinks about it and still blames others for him not able to save the world. Instead of just saying, you know what, if I had had just a little bit more help, if I had asked somebody to give me their 2 cents, if I had solicited a peer, a coworker, a mentor, you know, but again, where is he now? So I ask you now, what can you do to avoid becoming this kind of bad leader? Well, first of all, admit to yourself that you yourself cannot save the world. You can't save it all by yourself. It's just never going to happen. You're going to need to put together a shotgun team, a shotgun approach, a team that's just going to be wide, varied, skilled, knowledgeable, and wise. It can be done. It really can. And of course, it's going to have to be internal and external. And when I say external, you can consult people outside. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's okay. They don't need to know all the intricacies or anything that's confidential, but you know what? A problem is a problem. And in business, everybody kind of has the same problems. Yeah, they're tweaked a little bit different. They come from slightly a different place, but I guarantee you, you know, how do you implement change in the payroll system? Well, you know what? There's certain rules you have to follow, but for the most part, every organization will come up with a different answer for that same problem. So, hey, look it up. Now, also, the shotgun team, and I call a shotgun, you know, shotgun scatters. It covers all this huge area, and that's what you want. You also want to bring in somebody from within the troubled part of the organization and somebody from without, somebody outside of that troubled part of the organization, but still a member of the organization. You create this team, and they're thinking, and one is deep down in it. Several others are outside of it. And some of them just have no clue, but again, just stuff out of left field can sometimes just save the day. Think about the pet rock. Millionaire, the pet rock. For those of you that are too young to know what a pet rock is, somebody got a rock, sold it, made it a pet. Sold it as the pet rock, made millions. So there you go. It can happen. Just the weirdest, strangest ideas can really yield some awesome results. Now, while you're doing that, while you're putting together this team, you also communicate. That's essential. Communicate, not a monologue. Don't talk down to them. No, dialogue. You communicate dialogue with everyone. Engage in dialogue. You engage as a collective. Get everybody together and say, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what we are going to do. And this is what I think we're going to do. But if there's better things out there, I want to hear it. If somebody's got better ideas, you know what? Ask. As a collective. And then you start meeting with them one-on-one. And when you meet one of them one-on-one, you tell them again. You reinforce what you said to the collective. And then now they have, maybe they were a little too shy, didn't want to raise their hand. Now they have the opportunity to raise their hand. So, what do you do? While you're doing this, well, obviously you make your own assessments. You figure out the bad employees, who others who are trying to save their neck say are the bad employees. And you know who the others are. You know who the ones that are trying to save their neck. They are the ones that will come to you first and say, hey, you need to watch out for so-and-so. Hey, you need to do this before they give you any substance of their own. Or maybe they have no substance whatsoever and they choose to highlight the inadequacies of others just so you don't ask them, well, what about your inadequacies? Because I guarantee you they have plenty of those and they have no substance. And that's usually the case. So make your own assessments about who the bad employees are. Who knows? Who knows? The bad employees might just mean that they didn't fit in the past operations and now may be the great fit in your changes and the changes you want to bring in. That's how you win people over. That's how you make it happen. Next, you create a plan that can be implemented with adequate and appropriate short and long-term goals. Always. See, in the story or what I was telling you earlier about just cramming down these changes because these were it and that was going to save the world, there were no built-in short-term goals. There was no benchmarking. No built-in benchmarks that had to be met, and if they weren't met, that meant creating adjustments as the process was underway. That is. So, what do you do? What do we do? Well, what do? You make sure that those adjustments are made. And you report back to the superiors with the truth. Even if the truth hurts, let it hurt. Let it sting. Enjoy it. Because as you start getting wiser and more experienced, those hurting moments are definitely going to get far and far and fewer in between. But they're going to continue to happen, don't get me wrong. But when they happen, now you've matured enough, you understand that it doesn't have to hurt so bad. So enjoy them. Enjoy them. Enjoy those moments. Because for one, when you report back to your superiors, it means that you are serious about what you're doing and you want to make this work. You want to, well, you just want to make this work. You want what they've tasked you to do to be a success. It also shows when you report back with the truth, and if the truth hurt, it also shows that you're human. It means that you are not prepared to let them down because they were informed every step of the way. And guess what? When they start seeing that there might be problems, they start working with you. And then they start bringing in, hey, have you added so-and-so to your team? Hey, why don't you talk to this individual? Why don't you deal with them? Why don't you call them up? And then success starts happening because now you're communicating with everybody. You're sharing that information. You're getting some dialogue. And you're not cramming it down their throats, which creates resentment, which creates pushback, which creates just more animosity. And obviously, it will just create, it will create your tenure at that organization to be very brief. I guarantee it. So communicate with everybody, get the buy-in, minimize the pushback, bring everybody on board because everybody together is there for a reason. They all wanted to be there because they all applied to work there. They're all there for a reason. So guess what? Everybody has to work together. Be that kind of leader. Don't be the bad one. Be the good one. You can not do it by yourself, but you know what? Together, you can save more than just the world. Well, listen, my name is David Guerra. I thank you for listening to this 60th episode of the Walking Leader Podcast. And until next time, drop me an email, David Dave Guerra. Follow me on Twitter at Dave Guerra, and it's at the @ DaveGuerra. Let me know you heard the podcast. Let me know what you think. I want to hear from you. Definitely need some feedback from you. And until next time, thanks a lot. Have a good one.